to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This message I'd previously shared, but I just felt I'm going to do it again because obviously you learn more as you go on. So this message specifically has to do with our endurance. As you can see, running a winning pace. If all the runners here, you might giggle, and all the teachers might like some of my points here. But in preparing this, first thing I thought is we so often tell people, just endure, just hold on, just keep going. Okay, it'll get better. And you know what? As we see the country, as we see the world going, things in general are not getting better. Every day we hope for something new. Every month, okay, the economy is going to turn. And it never does. And Jesus is pretty clear. You know what? It's actually going to get worse. The closer the time comes for him to return, it's actually only going to get worse in the natural. But there's a place, I believe, where for us, it's only getting better. First of all, we're excited. The return is getting closer. And we should be able to stand when everybody else is falling. The theme for the last while has been salt and light, so we've been sharing a lot about just the testimony of your salvation, what it means to so many people in the world. So it's amazing. God this morning just laid this in my heart that I need to share this again, because I feel we sometimes just need to come back to the point, just reassess where we are at in our relationship with God, where we are on this journey. There's a scripture when it really just jumped out at me again, and I'm like, I want that on my tombstone. That's if I'm not in heaven already with all the rest of the people that Jesus came to fetch. But on my tombstone, what I want is 2 Timothy 4:7. So I fought the good fight. I ran the race. I kept the faith. Powerful words. I mean, if you think of that, if that's the only thing you could have on your tombstone, here lies such and such. He kept the faith. He fought the good fight. He kept the faith. And the other portion that I skipped out. So in thinking, I'm like, okay, awesome, great. But it's not that easy. Especially when you know God is busy moving in a whole lot of directions. He wants you to be a bigger witness at work. You know God wants to use you to work. And wherever you're at, I can tell you how God wants to use you there. The challenge is discovering how he wants to use you there. And I shared this last time also that working out your faith, working out your salvation, expressing it is not necessarily we all have to be like Pastor Heinrich or like Brad, which if you try and do that, you're going to have a hard time anyway. But, it's not that. It's finding, God, how do you want to, what is the gifting that you've given me that's going to connect with people's hearts where I'm at? For some of you, it's just having lunch with people. For some of you, it's surfing with people, playing tennis with people, playing squash with people, and allowing those conversations that are seasoned with the aroma of Christ to start stirring and awakening hearts to more. So we've been sharing a lot of that, but every now and then, we just need to get back to that point. Especially once we start discovering that and that zeal and that excitement is there, it's just to come back, just reassess where we were at. If we don't get ahead of ourselves, or worse yet, get ahead of Jesus. So what happened to Peter when he assumed that he could run ahead of Jesus and make decisions for him. And Lord, but this you can't die. He didn't get a very favorable response from Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. Don't get in front of me. Don't try to presume to think you can tell me where and what I need to do. So obviously it's easy for us as Christians, especially we know the word and all this stuff, to run ahead of even Jesus, to run ahead of ourselves. And ultimately, have you ever seen someone who ends up moving faster than their feet can carry them? It's pretty funny. Yeah, it's one of those things you try not to laugh. If they're far away, you laugh a lot. If they're close by, you kind of, you know. I've got a little 16, 17-month girl, and she makes me laugh all the time. Without her trying, just her being herself, trying to move fast. But she's got this thing now where she's discovered she can tease people. So she'll poke her sister, and she'll be like, "Nia, Mia, Nia, Mia." I keep saying her name's Mia. It's not like a funny language I'm saying. She keeps saying, and then eventually she'll get up to get it from her, and then she's like, and then eventually she's like, on her face. You know? It's hilarious. Or she's got this thing now where when she gets excited, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's like her victory dawns. So if I come home, if I've been away for a while, and I come home and she sees me, her movement is literally like, so I don't know, I don't know where she gets it from. Or she starts dancing. But then her arms and it's like she's having a fit or something, because her arms and everything else moving like independent of each other. But anyway, completely off the point, and I've actually kind of lost track of it, but I want you to read with me Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so close, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amazing scripture. Amazing. Saying, let us throw this stuff off. Let's get rid of this stuff that so easily clings to us and entangles us, prevents us from running an effective race. From getting from point A to point B, getting from life to eternal life. Let's throw it off. Okay, so there's this point of, yes, there is our testament. There's all these things that the world needs to see. But it doesn't help that we forget to focus, that we lose the basics, that we end up being like my daughter on her face half the time. And people are just laughing at us the whole time. There's this place of pressing the reset button and just realigning, okay, where am I actually headed? Where am I going? How do I get there? Okay, what are the directions? Okay, and where am I currently on this journey? Whether you are 90 years old or whether you are 20 years old, whether you've known the Lord for 50 years or whether you've known the Lord for 2 years, we are not yet there. We are not yet in eternity. We are not sitting there with Jesus, high-fiving him, and he's saying, well done, you made it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. We're not there yet, which means this journey is still ongoing. It means the race is there, which means there are things we still need to throw off. There are things that we have not yet had victory of. And if you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh, but I don't need a disciple in my life. I don't need this. I don't know. I'm telling you how the enemy is trying to pull a fast one over you. We all need it. Up till that day when we are 90 years old. Yes, there are people that are going to have revelations and victories in certain areas which we can learn from. And very often, obviously, the longer you go, the more likely you are to have those victories. But it doesn't mean you're immune from getting entangled once again. Okay, so to run this race, it's not always easy. Paul would not make a statement like, just, and it's literally towards the end of his life, and he knows his life is about to end. And he's like, you know what? I've ran the race. I fought the good fight. Fought the good fight. Not picked all the roses along the way and smelt all the flowers. It was a fight. It was a battle. And if you look at his life, his battle wasn't necessarily with the people who were persecuting him, stoning him, hanging him, all those things that he had to endure. That wasn't his fight. If you had to sit down and chat to Paul right now, his fight was with his own desire to quit, to say, this is too tough, I can't do this anymore. That was a fight. Fought the good fight. The fight to continue seeing people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to do what God has called me to do. Kept the faith. I've kept it dear to myself. Ran the race to completion. I've hit those walls as barriers, but I broke through. And I can sit here again, and I can wait for Jesus to come collect me now as I feel my life slipping away, and I'm doing it with a smile. And then the scripture I want to talk about this morning is looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, I've got the same version there. Okay, so for me, this is where I'm going to just take three secrets to maintaining a good pace. 3 points to run a good race. One of the most amazing stories that I've ever heard to just epitomize this, despite all the struggles. David Livingstone, Ravi Zacharias, shares on it, if an apologist, shares on it in one of his sermons, and he shares that in the life of David Livingstone, we all know he suffered tremendous hardships. For those who don't know who he is, he missioned across Africa, just sharing the gospel right across Africa. He was a trailblazer across Africa. And he, through his whole journey, was obviously had malaria almost nonstop. It's not like they had a massive vaccination. He had malaria. He was constantly sick. His wife was with him in the beginning, but eventually she just couldn't. She was just too sick. So he went home with her back to England, stayed there for a bit with her, but he just felt this compulsion, this burden to go back to Africa to share the gospel. So he left his wife there, and I think while he was in Africa, you can go check the facts, but while he was in Africa, she passed away. But he carried on. Eventually, it got the story ends with where he was on one of his outreaches, and then his guide, his talk, came with him back to their home base, their tent, and then he asked his guide, his support, to just take him into his room, into his tent. He would just like to go pray. And then he had to help him. At that stage, he was very frail. He was old, riddled with sickness and malaria specifically, and helped him into his room. And with all the hardship and all the loss that he's had of his life, he asked his help just to put him on his knees because he couldn't get onto his knees on his own. Put him on his knees, and he started praying. Then the story ends with a little while later, his help came back into the room to call him because it was supper, and he was still on his knees. So his help went over to him and said, excuse me, Dr. Livingston, it's time to eat. And when he turned around, he didn't get an answer. He went in and he went to the front to get his attention. Notice he's died. He passed away on his knees while praying. Enduring to the end. Enduring to the end. Regardless of what gets thrown your way. Throwing off every weight, but making sure when that day comes, when Jesus comes, all he can say to me is, well done, my good and faithful servant. You endure to the end. Those who endure to the end will be saved. Okay, so in this portion of Scripture, there's just a couple of things I believe that can help us on this journey. The three things I want to look at, there's first thing is focus on the end point. Okay, it starts off with, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And for anybody who's got little kids or had kids and they've grown up, you remember those first few athletics events, those inter-house events, grade one. I'm going to take you back now. For those of you who took part in it, which is pretty much all of us, if you remember those events, I used to teach at a primary school here locally, and it's the cutest thing, but it's also hilarious. What you would do is you would have these little, you know, six-year-olds, and they ran at shorter distances, but you would have them run, but then obviously through trial and error over the years, you'd have a parent standing at the end. You'd have the parents standing at the end. You wouldn't use a gun at the beginning because you don't want to give them a fright and then they start crying, okay? And they would practice, obviously. It wasn't even that they had, like, heat during phys ed and stuff at school. They would practice so they know where they need to run to, okay? And then you would have the parents stand at the end who would actually call. So it was like calling a puppy, you know? You have to call, and then they would run straight. Now, the reason you have the person standing at the end is because with all the people cheering and stuff, those kids get thrown like that. Now, grandma standing on the side, run, run, yeah. And then the kid's like, okay, where do I run? I want to run to Oma. She's great. She always gives me sweets when I'm with her. And you're like, no, no. And then they run across and trip the other kids on the way across. And then everybody's crying. It's just chaos. Okay, so now they've obviously learned, we've learned, okay, put someone that the kid really, you know, loves, really wants to get to. You put them at the end. So that way the kids only focused on that person and they run. And hopefully all the other distractions then weren't stop them from getting to the end. Okay, so there needs to be a focus point. Okay, so for us it's, what is our focus point? Because we cannot finish this race without a focus point that stays the same, that is eternal and that is most loved. Because as we go, there are going to be distractions. As we go, there are going to be so many things that are quite dear to us and they are quite important to us along the way, but we need to know what our focus point is. Okay, you don't put a stranger at the end of the race for the grade one. You put someone that they know, whose voice they recognize. And even if they can't see them there clearly, they know just by their shape, just by the sound of their voice, they know that that's the person they need to get to. That's where safety is. So even if they freaked out, they want to get there as fast as possible. And it's the same when it comes to finishing this race. We need to know who's at the end point. We need to understand that Jesus is waiting at the end point for us. So even if we can't see him right now, we know, we've got this picture. We know how he sounds. We know how he smells. We know what his heartbeat is. And it is a warmth that we know that is with him that we can't wait to get to. And we hold on to that and we cling to that. And we put all our effort in visualizing that endpoint, the joy that is at that endpoint. And along the way, there are going to be distractions. There are going to be all these things trying to stop us from getting there. And you know, many of those things are so appealing. So appealing. And the nice thing about, you know, I feel God laying this message on my heart now is we're going into that point now. One of the distractions, this time of year. I actually wanted to share a message called Black Friday. People spending more money than they have. You know, pulling people by the hair, trying to get the last jacket for their kid. You know, going crazy. Who's ever seen those clips of Black Friday in America? I don't think ours is that much better at this stage. I think we're getting there. But it's crazy. People fighting over stuff. You know, guy falls over and he's like screaming, help, help. And everybody's just like tap dancing over his back. You know, trying to get into the store. And it's funny when you see the clip, but it's actually really terrible. It's like animals. It is animals. Brute beasts. And that's the time. So we're going into this spell now where there's going to be a lot of screamings left, right, and center as we're trying to get to the end. And we know we should get to the end, but oh, you know, grandma's cookies are so nice and she's here. You know? Oh, but Woolworths has got a special. Oh, you know? How many of us at this time of the year, we run the year so faithfully? We give our percentage giving at the beginning of each month, our tithe, and you know, it's for the kingdom, Lord. My finances will not control me. You are my first and foremost. And the temptation is this time of the year, we work out our budget. And our whole budget goes into negative figures at times before we even get to that point. God, this is you. This is for you. Not for you. This is to say thank you that I even have this to budget with. We do it the rest of the year, but in these moments we're like, oh, you know, I'm going to hold back on this. And then I'll tip you at the end, as Chris Ludovic said. Right at the end, I'll tip you for your provision. We do that. We get sidetracked because we lose focus of who's in the end. We know we don't have our eyes fixed on the end point. And here's the thing, it's not a little 60-meter race. It's a race that takes place our whole lifetime, which means there are lots of turns, there are lots of bends, but the road is narrow. And if we aren't focused, we are going to fall off. And then we're going to be lying at the bottom of the ravine in pain, not understanding. And then we're like, Jesus, how could you leave me? How could I lose all this? How could you let it be so tough in my life? I love you. But then we're just talking to a tree. We don't even know who Jesus is anymore. Because somewhere along the line, and it's not these big, grand, you know, appearances of these amazing things that distract us. It's those little things that just creep in over time. Okay, Lord, not this week. I'll push over next week. I'll X, Y, and Z. I'll have quiet time with you. I'll go to church. I'll go to small group. I'll give where I need to give. Then it goes, okay, Lord, next week. Next week. Next week, that's a month later, 2 months later. Before you know it, you don't even know how the this God that you serve sounds. I mean, if you think about it, if you were to remove your child from you now, and you need to, for the next, say, year, not even that long, not even that long. I mean, I've seen it with my kids. If you've gone for a couple of weeks, it's almost like they've got to refamiliarize themselves with you again. It's almost like you're almost kind of like a stranger again to them. They've got to kind of get used to, you know, your habits, you know, how you speak, you know, the change in tone when you go from joking to serious. All those sort of things, it's like they've got to relearn. All your little mannerisms, you know, that they can pick up and, okay, pushing daddy a bit too far, or yes, it's, you know, we can play, it's playtime. I don't tell my kid, okay, let's play. They can just pick up when I'm in that mood that, yes, let's just have a draw. But they can also tell that, okay, dad's not such a good mood, he's a bit tired right now, so they're not necessarily, they'll try, but they won't be surprised when you're like, just hold on a second, a little bit later. And all this, and it's the same with God. The longer we, the more we push out those moments with him, our ears don't get trained to hear his voice. And then we often are surprised when we take that one bend and we're like, okay, but where am I? Make that one decision and it's kind of like, okay, Lord, are you with me here? Lord, I feel like I'm alone. And I'm like, you are, because I'm standing here and you just took a turn over there. Doesn't mean he leaves us there. Doesn't mean he pushed us there or told us that we're going to go. It's where our heads are at, where our hearts are at. And the next point I want us to look at is you've got to pace yourself. Anybody who runs long distance here, we probably got a couple who do long distances. I know Tarina over there likes running far distances that I probably couldn't calculate or comprehend in my mind because it freaks me out. But she runs lots of long distances. And anybody who runs regularly knows that you need to pace yourself. You almost have to have checkpoints. Okay, where should I be at what time? Okay, because you almost know, you've worked out how your body works in the sense of, I can run this fast for this long. Okay? So it doesn't help you run like, you know, Zola Budd or whatever, and she's your pace setter. Okay, it doesn't help if you do that. She's going to eventually, she'll carry on because she knows her pace, and you're going to burn out and not be able to finish. Okay, so you need to pace yourself. You need to set out these markers to measure, am I running at a speed that I can manage for the whole distance? Am I running, you know, at a pace that is going to get me there at the time I need to get there? That's unique to me. I know how I've been training. I know what my strengths are. Maybe I'm a strong finisher, or, you know, I'm just I just keep my pace the same. Or whatever it is. When it comes to the kingdom, when it comes to this race of life that we are running on, we need to have those checkpoints along the way also to make sure, are we still on track? Are we still on track? Not only in direction-wise, but also our pace-wise. Because the thing is, if you go too fast, if you do things that God has not released you yet in it, he's not saying, no, just hold on. There's some things I want to work through you with. There's some training you need to do. We burn ourselves out, and then we blame God. We blame the church, or we blame our small group leader, or then it's someone else's fault. But we didn't allow God to, whether it be through someone else, or whether it be, you know, from his word, to just say, whoa. I can see that in your eyes, and I can see that coming, but you're not there yet. You're not there yet. Let's just take the time. It's more important that you get to the finish than when you get to the finish. And we forget that often. You know, especially, you know, with the little ones, now they go from grade 2 to, I think, grade 3 or grade 4, and then they start doing the slightly longer distances. They, maybe a bit older, grade 4. Then they can start choosing they want to do the 200 or the 300. You know, a little bit longer. And then majority of them, they start and they're like, "Mee!" And then they start crying towards the end because, I hate this sport. It's terrible. I'm like, okay, but you just went, let's just try it again. This time, instead of starting like a house on fire, let's go a bit slower. Right till the end. Okay, and the kids who end up finishing the race and doing well are normally the ones who kind of, by default, they're like, I just want to finish. I don't want to look like the greatest starting out, okay? But they finish, whereas the others don't. And all of us are going to be running at different paces. We're going to have our own checkpoints. Okay, and how do we get those checkpoints? We go to the Word of God. We go to our prayer time. We go to those quiet places. Just get that reconnect to make sure, God, yes, I can still hear your voice. Lord, where am I now? Where are you busy taking me? Okay, how do I do this? Lord, I bring this before you, and I don't want to plan this on my own. All those little checkpoints, what keeps us in tune, not only with our own body rhythms and how we can handle this, our own spiritual growth, but also with what God is busy doing in our lives. Because I think the road is narrow. That lane that we're running in is very narrow. And Jesus demarcates those areas for us. So without him, if we run ahead of him, if we, you know, run too fast and we're not waiting on him, we could very easily miss where the lane is taking us, where this road is taking us. It's one of those things we run and we forget that actually we are actually running blind. And we actually need that person tied to our wrist to get to the end. If that person cuts off the guide, he could be a great runner. He could be the best runner. He could know all the scripture, everything. He's so anointed. But the moment he severs that guide band, He could be running into the forest of doom, you know, or whatever, but he wouldn't know where he's going. It's the same with us. We forget that we are actually blind. It's not by sight, you know, it's by faith, not by sight. So it's our connection to God that gets us from point A to point B. But we quickly forget that, especially when we start knowing things, especially when we start achieving things. And all of a sudden, you know what? I've arrived. And that's why I'm glad God gave me that scripture again, because it's been a busy time for me also. And there's a lot of things I've been thinking about and working through, and lots of it, you know what, I wouldn't say I'm pretty good at. It's almost like God brought me back to this, as you're not doing what you're doing because of your intellect, you know, because of whatever. It's because I placed you there. And only I know where you are going. So it's the same with us. Are we holding on to that God? And here's the thing, Jesus is not just sitting at the end, he's walking the road with us. He himself is guiding us. How? He sends his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to lead us into all truth. To lead us. The guide. So Jesus sitting at the end, we're listening to his voice. He's waiting for us there in eternity, but he's also with us. He's in us. He sends the Holy Spirit, so we're not orphans running this race alone, but we're running it with him. That's why it's sad to see when we reject the work of the Holy Spirit, we are running blind, bumping into things. You know, churches that struggle to maintain and struggle to you know, over, you know, generations who start compromising or start, you know, not even, it's not even a numbers thing, but just you can see that the power isn't there anymore. It's because of, okay, well, I figured this out. We've got a great model that works, okay? Guide to the side. When they start denying the work of the Holy Spirit, they're denying their only means of getting to the end. Everything that the Holy Spirit says is pointing us more and more towards Christ. He doesn't speak on his own authority, just as Jesus didn't speak on his own authority. So we need that guide. We need to pace ourselves according to God's word and make sure that we are traveling at the pace that he desires us to go. And then the last one, ultimately no one runs a race to fail. No one runs a race to come last. No one runs a race to fall out. So when you run this race, and as we are going, we're not running this just to see if we do get to the end. All of us sitting here are hoping we get to the end. That's where our hope is in Christ Jesus, that we will get there and we will see that glory. And we will have those words spoken over us, well done, my good and faithful servants. That's where our hope is. We know that. So no one starts. So when we run it, we need to run like we're running for gold. No one goes to the Olympics hoping that they come fourth. Yes, they, you know, some of them are realistic and, you know, if I can get a, but if you tell them, look, you're going to get a gold, they're not going to be like, no, I don't want a gold. You know, I want a bronze or I want a, you want to finish. You want to do, run to the best of your ability to get that which you deserve at the end. That which you've worked so hard for. Yeah. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So it is tough. But it's preparing something for us. 1 Peter 1, verse 6-7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes through though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So your ultimate, your gold medal is the faith that you carry with us now, that you carry with you now. It's being refined. And when we get to that end, we get that accolade. The gold is produced in us through the refining, through all these weights and all these sins that so easily entangle us, that over time we try and break free of. We get to the end and it is the gold. And the gold literally is the honor that we receive from God when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've made it. Enter into my rest. Enter in. I mean, what more can you want? What more can you want to know that there's a place being prepared for you, no matter how difficult it gets now? And this is what I think so many pastors despise about the prosperity gospel. But all these other guys, I'm not going to mention names, but you know many of them. These guys with massive churches that smile all the time and tweet about how blessed you are and how great you are, and you know, God does everything in his power to make sure you feel blessed. No, and there's some truth in it, but the lie is so deep. The lie is that, you know what, if life isn't going well for you right now, if you're not getting everything you want, then there's something wrong with you. Because God wants to give you that stuff. Because that's ultimately what you're saying in reverse. Because look, but if everybody else is so blessed, and God wants to bless everybody, the fact that I'm not being blessed means either God doesn't like me, okay, or I'm doing something terribly wrong and I'm missing him. That's by default what we are saying. Prosperity gospel, same thing. Come to God and he'll give you a nice new Porsche. Okay, but I'm not getting a Porsche. So God clearly doesn't like me, so I might as well just go back to my old habits. Well, I'm not getting a Porsche, which I'm no good at this Christian thing, obviously, so I've got to go explore other options. And that's not what it's about. It's Christianity. Jesus says, carry your cross. Die to yourself every day. You know, and some of us, God are going to bless in certain ways. But God does also say that you've received your reward then. The ultimate blessing for us, the ultimate goodness that we seek is knowing him, fulfillment in him. If you can say that whether you have or you don't have, that your contentment is in Christ, and you can honestly say that, yes, God has blessed me in opening doors for me in my workplace, or maybe, you know, I'm getting by. But in that place, everything that you have or don't have is rubbish either way. As Paul said, he counts it all loss. He was a Jew of Jews, Greek of Greeks, highly educated, very young for a Pharisee. So he obviously was just, he was like a prodigy. And he said, all of that counts for naught in the light of my salvation, in the light of knowing Christ. In the light of knowing Christ. Go for gold. Allow the process to take place. Pace yourself. Get back to those checkpoints and check, okay, am I on cue? Am I heading in the right direction? Am I running a pace that I can sustain? Who do I need to bring alongside me to help me? Who can be, who I can imitate as they imitate Christ? Who can I bring alongside me who can be my pace setter? Until I grow to that point where I then too can be a pace setter for someone else. As I follow the ultimate pace setter, the Holy Spirit. Am I looking to Jesus? In this time going forward, now, you know, I think 2 years ago, I preached this time of the year. And I preached on the fact that, well, I didn't preach on it, but one of the things I looked up is the amount of suicides that take place over this time of the year. I don't think any of you would be surprised by it. It's astronomical. In South Africa. And the scary thing is, and I think I looked at a stat from 2013, the ages for these suicides are getting younger and younger and younger. They say there's a certain percentage, it's not that high yet, I think it was something like 8%, but 8% of the suicides in South Africa are of kids younger than the age of 9 or something like that. Something ridiculous. You can go look it up and just check the facts. But it's getting younger and younger and younger. I remember when I was still at Somerset College, you know, one of the young boys in grade 2, I think, at that stage, you know, his father committed suicide. How do you process that on your own if your world is nothing but your own deeds and your own achievements and your own flesh? How do you process that? How do you become someone of worth, of security, of identity in a world where that is what you're exposed to? You cannot. I don't care who you are, how rich you become, you cannot. Your life is going to be filled with that pain of seeing that, of witnessing, of that loss. The enemy is going to come in constantly and remind you of those things. If you don't know how to pace yourself through your life, according to a stopwatch, a pace that is ultimately going to carry you. Because that's the flip side of it. When we're checking in constantly with God to make sure we're on the right pace, it's not that, okay, I've got to pace myself, so I've got to run better. The more we come back to him to get our pace and to get our times and to make sure we're on track with the journey that he's walking with us, the more he carries us. I mean, isn't that amazing? He's the only God. He's the only God of any religion in the world where he chose to carry our sin for us. He chose. No one took it from him. No one forced it from him. He chose to step out of heaven and say, you know what? There is a journey you guys are going to take in your life. Every other religion says, find your enlightenment in this journey. give more, sacrifice more, blow yourself up, and you will attain. He said, no, no, no. I will come and carry that for you. I will come and I will die for you and I will do it for you because you cannot do it. All those other religions are lying to you. All the other self-help books, all the atheists around the world are saying, yo, but man did this, man. I'm like, I don't want to live in a world where I did anything. Because if you know what goes on in my head and what goes in my heart, you would not like to live in that world. I would not like to live in that world. But thank you, Jesus, that he came and said, let me create a world for you that you can live in. A world that is still falling apart, but within that, you're in the slipstream of love and life. So the more we check, the more we look to Jesus, the more we start to hear his voice, because we're checking in, we're pacing ourselves, the more he comes and carries us even more. You know, testimony of being free of that addiction for so many years, she would not be able to do that on her own. Somewhere along the line, that bug is going to come back. And you know what? For her to finish the race, she needs to pace herself. Allow God to check in with her, or her to check in with God, so that he can carry her. Because all of us sitting here, we've got those little vices. We've got those little things. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter how holy you think you are. You've got those things that you know is ungodly. I've got things I know are ungodly. The only way I'll make it till tomorrow is because I know if I check in with him, he can just carry me tomorrow, because I can't fight anymore. I cannot fight anymore. Hebrews 12, verse 3 or 4 goes on, you've not yet resisted unto the point of bloodshed. How many of us want to do that? Get to the point where we're actually dying because of a resistance. But it goes, and then this, that verse follows on, look to Jesus. Check in with him. Then you will be able to resist to that point. Paul did not make it to the end of his journey because he kept himself. Because he kept himself safe. Because he had the good fight against all these other people, and he knew good kung fu so he could resist them. No. He had a fight against his own desires to quit. He ran the race with legs that are weak, that were broken, because he checked in. He paced himself. He allowed God to come in to carry him. So I'm going to ask the band to come up so long. And I want you to take a couple of seconds as we're waiting for the band to come up. And I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes and look just at these next couple of months. Let's not look on to eternity right now. Just right now, just these next couple of months. First and foremost, what is your pace setter for these next couple of months? When you started planning for this holiday, this break, or maybe you're working over time, when you started planning for it, what are the first boxes you started ticking that you need to get in place for you to make it through this month? Now, this is going to be a difficult one for some of you. In fact, for most of us. So what are those boxes that you first and foremost ticked so that you could get to January and not be in debt? Or maybe be in debt, but you've already worked out a way to get out of it by end of February. And just be honest. No one knows what's going on in your head except Jesus. And now in answering that, while you're still thinking about that, I'm going to say, then who is your pace setter? Because when you think about those things that you had to check off, who decided on those things? Who has the control over those things that you believe has the control over it? And what most of you will find is if you started ticking your box with how much your holiday is going to cost, how much it's going to cost to host your family, how much, you know, Christmas dinner or supper or lunch or whatever is going to cost, your calculations are based on what you believe is the best way to operate. And now this is not, and I'm not talking against stewardship. This has got nothing to do with stewardship. In fact, it actually has got everything to do with stewardship. But the first stewardship of the gift that was within you. The gift we have of being able to hear God's voice and to listen to him and allow him to help us make those decisions. Decisions that do not crowd our space with him, but open up a path to him. And don't get me wrong, God wants us to enjoy the fruit of our labor, but not there at the expense of crowding our vision and our ability to hear what he wants to say to us. how he wants to prepare us for next year or whenever, or the next decision you have to make. So if you could stand with me quietly and just stay in that space right now. And maybe if you're visiting, you maybe think I'm talking a lot of hogwash, or maybe there's something that's connecting with you there, or you're not sure. All I can say is the proof is in the pudding. Right across the wall, there are people right now who are considering suicide, maybe even in this room. Because what they see when they look out ahead into the days to come, they see a wall that's insurmountable. Emotional pain, emotional letdown, relationships destroyed, finances that it almost seems there's no ways it could be worked out. The economy is going down, the trade value of whatever it is you're doing just doesn't want to seem to stabilize. All those sort of things, the outlook just looks bleak. But it only looks bleak is because you're filtering through what you understand and what you can do. There's no pride in achieving anything in this life. The world wants to tell us, you know, when you've got this, you've achieved something. But we know it's never enough. It's never enough. There's always something more. We finish striking for this. We get the increase next year, and it's a massive increase. For next thing comes, okay, now what? Okay, but I need another increase. So I'm going to work hard this year so that next year I can get one. It's never enough. So again, who is your pace setter? Who are you going to allow into those places that are actually more sacred to you than the times with him? Who are you going to allow in there to rewire your view and your relationship with the things that are coming up in this month and the time from here? So that enjoyment is not in what you have. But it should be in who provides. Because when you know that, that provider is faithful. He is stable. He never changes. When our joy and our hope is in him, things can fall, things can increase, things can be destroyed, but there's always tomorrow. There's always eternity. There's always peace. There's always an entering into his rest. So while everyone's eyes is closed, first person I'm going to invite you to allow us to pray with you. Pray with you as you connect with God again. As you say to him, Lord, you've seen this, and I've actually been stressing about this and how it's going to work out for these next couple of months, but I'm almost too embarrassed to tell anybody, so I will try and make it work. But Lord, I hear what Kurt is saying, and I get it, and I hear more than what Kurt is saying. I hear what you are saying, God. And I want to just bring this to your feet because it's been giving me sleepless nights because of all the uncertainty. Or maybe I'm just so secure in my, so proud of what I've achieved that I've actually overlooked you, Lord. And I know somewhere along the line, hearing what you're saying this morning, it's going to come and bite me. So if that is you, and you just want to realign again with God. You just want to check in, pace yourself. I'm going to ask you just where you are at, just to raise your hand and say, Lord, that is me. I just want to connect again with you. I just want to make sure that I'm running at the right pace. Is anyone like that? Thank you. Thank you. Is anyone else? Thank you. And the second group of people, and we're gonna just finish off with a song. You know, going into this holiday, only thing you're clinging on to is what you have. And you know ultimately what you have is so fragile and so frail it could disappear from you tomorrow. And you need to start looking towards Jesus. You need a new life that is filled and saturated with the peace of Christ. If that is you and you know you want to start looking at him from today on, Lord, I want to look to you and I need your help. I want your help. I need that guide rope attached again. If that is you, I'm going to ask you also just to raise your hand where you're at. Is there anyone like that? Okay, thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Anybody? While everybody's busy praying, and when everybody's, if we can turn the lights off. I know it does tend to make people a bit more self-conscious. While everybody's just busy praying, before we start singing, if that was you, either one of the two, but ultimately you just need to get back to your first love, your pace setter. I'm just going to ask you just to step up from where you are at and just join me in front here. Everybody else, this is not a spectator moment. This is time to just get real with God. Lord, I want to get real with you this morning. If you could step out, please. There's still some more of you that need to come. The reason I'm calling people to the front also, just there are too many of you, first of all, for me to walk around to individually. But second thing is we're talking about checking in, stepping out of that place of, okay, Lord, I've been doing things this my way. I've been happy to do things my way, and I have hit walls, and I've had sleepless nights, and I've had hurts and losses, but I've always stood up, and I've always managed to carry on because you've given me that sort of character. God is saying, look, I've given you that sort of character, but that character is only found in me. So we're going to start singing now. And if you know, even if you didn't stick your hand up, but you still need to just respond. And I'm not saying this is God's way, but surrendering is God's way. And letting go is God's way. So Father, I just want to thank you this morning for, you know, for sending us a helper, for sending us that paraclete, the one who comes alongside us and helps us in our weaknesses, who carries us when we cannot walk, who leads and directs us when we cannot see. Lord, I just want to thank you for that. I want to thank you this morning also, Lord, that we are going into the next year, Lord, assured, Lord, that you have something in store for us, Lord. But I ask this morning that eyes and ears will open so that we can step into that which you've called us, Lord. Step into that which has been laid out for us, Lord. Because the more I try and step on what I believe is from you, or what I hope is from you, I find my feet slipping, Lord, and wanting to fall constantly, Lord. And ultimately, fear steps in, Lord. Because I don't always feel like I'm assured of tomorrow, Lord. So, Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will just come and bring that surety again in us. For those of us who've called on you as Savior, who's called on you as Lord, that you will come and you will just reassure our firm footing, because we want to place it on you, Jesus, the rock of our salvation. We want to be reassured, Lord, that in you, Lord, there's security and that there's rest, Lord. That our identity is so far removed from the things of this world, because our identity is sitting in eternity. Our identity is seated in heavenly places with you, Lord, and we want to grasp that identity and that inheritance that we don't have to work for or plan for, Lord. We just need to receive, Lord. So we choose to check in with you this morning, Lord, to pace ourselves this morning, Lord, so that we ask that you will come in and carry us, Lord. Carry us ahead, Lord. In Jesus' name.